Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
With us today. My name is Pastor Cherie, and my husband, who was the nice looking guy in his suit today, was that awesome in his cuteness, okay? So, yeah, he and I belong together, and we have the honor and privilege to being here with you guys, and we love the church. We love LifeLink Church, and we love all of you that are online this morning. One more time, welcome all of those that are online. I'm waving at you. I see you. I see you. Yes, I do. We're glad you're here. And today we are kicking off a sermon series, and it's called Three Steps Forward. And it's about three life character choices that can move us forward and make a difference in our lives in God's favor and blessing. And so today, the one thing that I want to bring about is one of my favorites. And it's the word generosity. Everybody say generosity. Now, I don't know if you got your phone out, because I know you're not scrolling and getting on Instagram, but get your phone out and start taking some notes, or grab a piece of paper and let's start taking notes, because you're absolutely going to love what the Holy Spirit is going to do in us today. Because if it's, let's just act like you and I are at coffee. Actually, I don't like coffee. Let's just say some tea. We're having a cup of tea together right now, right here, okay, in the living room of LifeLink. And if you had coffee with me or tea with me and you said, Cherie, oh young woman, so full of wisdom and wit, what is the most important thing that you could pour into me right now? Okay? I know that all of you feel that way right now. So I just want to share with you, first of all, my number one thing to share with anybody, wisdom, guidance, is all about God loving you unconditionally. God loves you. He knows exactly where you are. And he loves you right where you are. But he loves you enough to not keep you where you are. And he sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross so that we could have freedom, so that we could have salvation, so that we can actually love life here on earth and then know that we have eternal life in heaven. That's the most important thing that I would say, and I would have coffee with you. You have coffee, I have tea. But the second most important thing that I really think is something that everybody would need to hear if you asked me, what is important? What can you pour into my life today? And it is, how's your perspective? How is your thinking? How do you think about life? See, the message that I'm going to talk about today is perspectives on generosity. You like that move right there? Perspectives on generosity. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we are here today in our situation, in your life situation, because our thoughts have brought us to the place we are today. And we will be where we are tomorrow based on the thoughts that influences our behaviors and our actions. Where do you want to be tomorrow? How's your thinking, right? How's your perspective? That's where our thoughts will take us. That's why the Bible talks about renewing our mind daily. Because every day, I don't know about you, but I got to renew my mind. I got to get my thinking straight, right? I know you all thought I woke up always positive. But the reality is, it sometimes is work. You know what I'm saying? I know. So, but have you ever met someone who always has a positive perspective and a positive outlook on life, no matter what they are facing? In fact, you even forget maybe they've been in hard times because they always have something good to say. They're always smiling. They're always laughing. How many of you know somebody like that? I tell you, there's a couple in our church, and when I say their name, I expect all of you are going to go, oh, yeah, for sure. But there's a couple in our church who are the cutest couple ever and have been married for longer than Pastor David and I have been married. And I think they have never missed a birthday party, an anniversary party. They are always smiling, having a great day, being positive, want to pray for you. Let's take a pic. And that is Al and Star Gregory. You know it. I don't know if they're here today. I can't see. They may be traveling today because he is a Delta pilot. But Al and Star, I'm telling you, that couple is a joy to be around. If you don't know them, those of you that don't know them, let me just tell you, they are the people that you probably, some of the first people you would meet walking in the door, because they're all about people. They're not about themselves. They love, Al loves to do cooking on his smoking thing out in the back of his yard. Al is a golfer. He loves to play golf, and he loves to play with people who know how to play. But he loves to take people to have golf. And Star, she is like an angel. An angel. I mean, I always tell, well, we always talk to each other because we're both short and we're both blonde, so sometimes people get us mixed up, which is the best compliment ever, because I'm like, you think I'm Star Gregory? Oh my goodness, what a wonderful compliment, because she's always so, let me just praise the Lord. Oh, girl, oh yes, you're so sweet. Oh, and then in her text, it's all emojis, hearts, and kisses, and all this kind of stuff, you know? I'm telling you, and the type of people they are, they bring people over to their house. It doesn't matter who it is. It's church people and it's non-church people. I mean, they are all over it. They'll fly to another part of the world to go to a wedding. I'm serious. And I've told them, I want to be like you guys. I want to be like you guys. And one of the things I have to say, because if you know Al, he's very direct, but he's funny. He has that wit, you know. And, you know, if you're a pastor, many of you may be pastors out there, I don't know. But when people, God uses seasons to move people in and out of your church. And sometimes people leave the church and you don't know they're gone until you see it on Facebook. And it can kind of, you know, like, oh man, I wish they would have told us. Which, by the way, if God is changing your season, always talk to us about it. Just a little tip there. But what I love about Al and Star, they take LifeLink's mission statement to the degree, to the 10th in, or whatever you want to call it. LifeLink links people and God together for life. Because all of a sudden, we will get a text from Al. And it's him either on the golf course or in a restaurant, and he's smiling, and it's with all these people that have left our church. And he says, just linking people and God together for life. Love it. Some of you are like, do we clap on that? I don't know if that's a good thing. It is a good thing, because people that have left our church, they're still family. As long as they're in another church, come on, y'all. You know what I'm saying? We love people. In fact, LifeLink, what we tell you, if LifeLink isn't for you, we have wonderful friends in the city, great churches in the city. Y'all, we are blessed in Phoenix. And you just need to go where God has told you to go and stay and get planted. But those people, I mean, Star and Al, they're always, I love people like that, their perspective. Maybe you know and maybe you don't know that they've walked through tragedy in their life. They actually lost a teenage son years ago who is in heaven right now, and they lost a grandbaby who is in heaven right now. So you know what? Their perspective is on heaven, and it's all about linking people and God with that heavenly mindset. Come on! I love people like that. So today, I want to just kind of connect with you. If I could tell you one thing, or if you don't hear anything from me today, but just one thing, I would hope that you walk away hearing about how to have a right kind of spirit. a perspective, an attitude about life. So here's some perspective principles, and they're so good, you got to write them down. They're going to have them on the screen. Number one, how we view things determines how we do things. You see, basically, our behavior is a result of our perspective. Number two, what you see is who you will be. You see, we don't all see the same thing. We can be in the same environment, like we just had this amazing worship environment and the same service, and we can walk right out, and some people will say, man, that was the longest worship service ever. I stood a long time, my feet hurt, right? Or you can have somebody say, man, that was the most powerful service ever. I wanted more. Perspectives. What we just saw and experienced, there's usually two or more perspectives of that. Number three, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. Somebody say, that's good. You see, we've had people come into our office, marriages or just, you know, people, and it's usually like, that person that I'm married to has got to change. They need to do this. They have all this list, and people try to change people themselves. How many of you know that's way above our pay grade, right? That's way above. That's out of your league, and it's out of my league. Only God can change the heart of a person. But the best thing that we can do to change other people is work on ourselves. Change the perspective from there to here. And then it changes the things that we look at. Number four, what I believe about life determines how I perceive life, which determines what I receive from life. That's a big mouthful, but basically, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That basically, if you think life is a struggle, then it will be. If you see life as hard, or you see your family as difficult, then they will be. Oh, come on, Cherie, get real and be in reality. I'm saying, if you expect those things, they will happen. But if you start looking for the sunshine on the rainy day, the rainbow in the sky, there is a silver lining in the dark cloud you may be walking under. It's changing the perspective. Changing the perspective. Now, those are deep, amazing perspectives and thoughts. And aren't those good? Did y'all write those down? I hope y'all did. Did you write that down online? Okay, good. But what I'm about to share with you is like deep theology. You are going to love this. You're going to be blown away by what I'm about to share with you. Mm-hmm. Look at somebody and say, let's get ready. I'm telling you, this is really good. The best perspective that I can give you is excerpts from a dog's diary and a cat's diary. Thank you, Jesus, for that revelation. So here we go. Here is excerpts from a dog's diary. I mean, y'all ready? 8 a.m. dog food, my favorite thing. 9:30, a car ride, my favorite thing. 9:40, a walk in the park, my favorite thing. 10:30, got rubbed and petted, my favorite thing. Lunch, my favorite thing. 1 p.m., played in the yard, my favorite thing. 3 p.m., wagged my tail, oh, my favorite thing. 5 p.m., milk bones, my favorite thing. 7 p.m., got to play ball, oh, my favorite thing. 8 p.m., wow, watched TV with the people, my favorite thing. 11 p.m., sleeping on the bed. My favorite thing. Excerpts from a cat diary. Day 983 of my captivity. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. And the only thing that keeps me going is my dream of escape. Okay, that right there is perspective. Somebody give myself a hand, okay? Those of you that have cats and dogs, y'all get that one, right? So there you go, that's perspective. But I want to talk about our perspective on living a life of generosity. And generosity means the quality of being kind, not selfish. And how we look at our possessions. How do you look at your possessions? Which doesn't mean the stuff that's in your house. It's like your time, your talent, and then your treasure. Your possessions. So I want to look at a story out of Luke chapter 10, and it's the story of the Good Samaritan. Many of you may know this, but we're going to read it together. And I'm going to just pick up in the verse, chapter 10, verse 30, where there was a legalist that came up to Pastor Jesus, is what I was saying, to Pastor Jesus. A legalist came up to Pastor Jesus and said, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus responded with this story. Follow along with me. It says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, which is really a worship leader, just thought I'd tell you that, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out two coins, denarii, you know what I'm talking about. He took out some money and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? This Jesus asked. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So in this story, there are three of the four perspectives of generosity that we're going to just look at quickly. And we spent some time in worship, but are y'all good to take notes and learn more of the word? Okay. I'll do my best to deliver it in a way that is lighthearted and fun, but bear with me. Okay. So did they have a life of generosity? There were three of four perspectives, and there were two men that did not have a life of generosity and one that did. So the first one we're going to look at is the robbers. Everybody write down robbers. The robbers' perspective about their possessions, about stuff, about their time, their talent, and their treasure is this statement. If you got it, I'll take it. How many of you know that that's robbers' perspective? They steal, right? Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this point because I assume that we all have a higher level of thinking in that area. Are you sure? Should I stay here or do we need to move forward? Okay. We all have a little robber inside of us because we're all born in sin, right? And the closest person that I could do an illustration to about a robber's perspective is toddlers. How many of you have toddlers in your house? I do as well. I do as well. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So these little toddlers' perspective on possession, this is what they think or this is what they say. Okay, are you ready? Tell me if this is a life of generosity. If I like it, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If I had it a while ago, it's mine. If I say it's mine, it's mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. If you're having fun with it, it's mine. If you lay it down, it's mine. If it's broken, it's yours. Oh, come on, that was funny, y'all. Give God a praise for that. That's what Pastor Dave and I are working through with our little one right now. So there's not much difference, though, between a toddler's perspective and a robber's perspective, right? It's mine. We were all born in sin like that. So we have to work on that degree of selfishness because we all have it. It's easy to go fall back into it. But we're past that. We're past that. Look at somebody and say, you passed that. But there's two other people that we're talking about in here, and that's the priest and the Levite. That's the pastor, I should say, the pastor of the synagogue and the worship leader. Oh my goodness, okay? They're busy because they probably just had a church service and they probably prayed and laid hands on people and then they were trying to get home. Come on. It can happen to all of us. The priest and the Levite's perspective about possessions. Are they living a life of generosity? But here's what they were thinking there is, what is mine, and I'm going to keep it. This is my time. I've already done my job. I've already served on the dream team today. I'm off the hook. I've already ran the camera today. I'm done. Oh, please. Maybe just you. You know, I've already done my church thing. Now I'm done. Oh, they both saw the man on the side of the road that was bleeding and that was beat up and that had been robbed, and they went to the other side. Like, don't let anybody know that I saw. Come on. What's mine is mine. It reminds me of a story. Here's another story that I think is so cute. It's a father who took his son to McDonald's, got a Happy Meal. You know, how many of you love McDonald's fries, those healthy people? Come on, you know. You know how they smell? It's like, ah, you get that Happy Meal, and so the dad sits down with his son, and they're eating the Happy Meal, and the kid is just loving his fries. So dad just kind of reaches over and picks a couple of them out. His son grabs his hand and pushes it away. Says, no, these are mine. And this story goes on that the dad pulled back his hand, and he immediately thought these three things. Number one, my son doesn't understand where these fries have come from. I bought these fries. I am the source. I spent my money. Those really are my fries, and I'm just letting him eat them. And number two, he says, my son doesn't even understand that I can take those fries away from him, or I could bury him. I could bury him in fries. I could just pour it all over. In fact, he thought, I'll just go up and get 50 packs and just start throwing them all over his head. Yeah. Number three, he says, my son, he doesn't understand that I don't need his fries because I can go back to the counter and I can buy my own fries. But what really stung the dad, was I don't need those fries, but as a father, it would be great if he would just like to share them with me. Oh, come on now, that was good. When you have a McDonald's illustration in the message, come on. Makes you so hungry. But that's exactly what happens to us at times. And there's two words that I want to say that clash, that don't even go together. And the words are significance, which means the quality of being worthy of attention, and selfishness, the quality of being selfish. That's deep. Significance and selfishness. Significance is all about others, and selfishness is all about us. And there's no possibility of life if our perspective is on our possessions, time, our talent, our treasure that we have. We cheat ourselves if we hold on to them. We cheat ourselves if we don't have that life of generosity. If we're like that toddler, mine, my fries. But we're past toddler stage, I remember. Mark 8:35 says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will save it." Proverbs 11:24 through 25 says, "Give freely and become more wealthy." That doesn't make sense, right? Spiritual law. "Be stingy and lose everything." Verse 25 says, "A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Now, many of you have already turned me off. You know why? You think this is a money message. It is not. We're not going to have any offerings. Generosity does not just mean money. It's a heart position, a heart condition, a lifestyle. What does that mean? It's kind of like what I was talking about Star and Al Gregory. They don't mind having people over. They don't mind going and giving people food. They don't mind using their time, their talent, their treasure to help others. Jesus called us to be that way, to serve. But guess what? It sure can be inconvenient. Because a lot of us justify it. Well, if I have time, I'll come to serve on Sundays. If I have time, I'll do serve day. And let me just say this. First of all, you, LifeLink Church, are one of the most generous churches in, I'm going to say America, definitely in the Phoenix Valley. I want you to give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a big hand for that. Let me tell you, there were 120 of you last Saturday serving the community. Every time you give to the church, 10% is already out, and it goes to missions around the world and locally. You give and you sacrifice. So a lot of you are on the dream team. That means, in fact, we should give it up for all the people, the many people who are serving you right now behind the cameras, in the nurseries, in kids' areas, over there, the musicians. That's the dream team. Living a life of generosity, not for accolades or to get rewards, but just doing it as unto the Lord, because you have a heart. You see, when you know God, you know Him, and our God is a giver. God so loved the world that He sure did, and He continues to. So the third perspective is the Samaritan, and here is his perspective. This is the good guy. He says, "What is mine is yours, and I'm going to give it. My time, my treasure, my possessions." This is the area of life that we need to get to, y'all. Generosity, the heart position. How many of you have driven and you see someone on the side of the road holding the sign? Need help? We've had a lot of that in our COVID, in the COVID time. Well, see, I grew up with my dad saying, "Don't open the door for anyone. You're a young girl. Don't roll your window down." And because I would have a heart, "Hey, we need to..." But dad says, when I was driving alone, he's being a dad. How many of you dads know what I'm talking about? Because not everybody is is good out there. But what could we do? See, that was in my mind so much that I just would start passing by. I don't even see them anymore. But when I'm with my husband, or if I don't have money to give, could I have a little stash of gift cards or maybe, you know, cereal bars? Or could I go through McDonald's and give them lunch? What is it that we can do? But sometimes we've things in our past or things that our hearts become calloused because we just drive past. He should get a job. And I know many of us, not everybody is truthful. I totally get it. But when you feel the move of the Holy Spirit say, this one needs you, then he will protect you and he will bless you. So the Good Samaritan says, what is mine is yours and I'm going to give it. Jesus said that all three of these men saw the problem, but two of the men had an insider's perspective. You know what that means? What's in it for me? How can this profit me? How can I get my time back? Ooh, let's make a deal. I'll give you this, but I know I'm going to get such a percentage back. Well, we need to live and we do need to do things that make us prosper, but don't cheat people. Did you know that that is against God's character? Let's don't do that, but let's give. If we have that heart of generosity and you let it go with an open palm, God knows your heart. I promise you, you will reap way much more than what you gave away. And that's what this man did. The two men had the insider's perspective, and he, the Good Samaritan, had an outsider's perspective. But they all had a reason to help. The insider's perspective, think about it. Is this yours? Is everything, I base everything on how it affects me. I look out for myself. See, the key is selfish people don't like being inconvenienced. They don't like being interrupted. When it's, I got to do this for me. But, one hour once a month at weekend missions, I'll see if I can make it. Come on. Where's our heart of generosity? There is an inconvenience of serving and giving and loving. But that outside perspective, the Good Samaritan says, if I don't stop, what's going to happen to this guy? Will he die? But then he says, if I don't stop, what's going to happen to me? Will I die? Will I be so calloused that I'll just pass by like the priest who was the preacher and the worship leader, because they already did their duty? Albert Einstein says, a person first starts to live when he can live outside of himself. I tell you, here at church, we have those opportunities. I mentioned the dream team. We have missions, serve day, missions trips, and you give every single week to help people all over the world. Again, church, you are a generous church. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm just encouraging you. Can we do more? Can we be more generous in our lives, in our homes, in the workplace? The Samaritan's perspective is a good one, but there's another one that's even tops that. Are y'all ready for this? Look at somebody and say, now this one you should really strive for. This is a life change perspective, and it is biblical, and it is powerful. What is mine is not mine, and I'm gonna manage it. What? What is mine that I have, my gifts, my talents, my treasures, it's not even mine, but it was given to me so that I could manage it, so I could steward it. This will change your life. This will bring you success in your life. So while you're writing that down, because I know this was very profound, I was thinking about Target and the Black Friday sale that's going to be coming up soon. And I've got two granddaughters, and I have a little girl that I've got to buy some toys and stuff for. And I wish somebody would give me some money. It's expensive, girls are. And I just wish somebody would give me some $100 or something. You know what I mean? Chong? What is it? Thank you. Give Chong a hand. Chong. Oh my God. Thanks. I'll hit Target on the way home. Okay. So back to the word. Y'all don't want to move on, do you? In fact, some of you are like, you are already thinking, why didn't I give her $100? The spirit of generosity is just moving all over this place. If you would like to give me $100, just stand to your feet right now. I'll receive it. I'm just kidding. Actually, how could Chong just give that to me so freely? Well, first of all, I talked to him before service. And I handed him this $100 and said, Chong, would you just bring my money back to me? He's like, sure. But let's pause for a moment. He brought me the money back because, first of all, he's not a robber. He could have just sat there and I would have been stuck in this illustration. But he has a good heart. He didn't have a problem giving it to me because he knew it wasn't his. And the thing, we have a hard time giving God money, giving God time, giving him our talents, because we don't have a generous perspective at times. But if we think, this isn't even mine. Everything he gives me, he gives it to me so that I can manage it on his behalf. You see, he will flow money, favor, blessing through you because he knows he can trust you with it. But if we have that selfishness, that stinginess, that enviness and mine and hoard it, we're going to hoard it away. Now, it's good to have savings and it's good to have a budget. I'm not saying don't be smart. What I'm saying is have a generous heart. It's not hard to let go if it's not yours. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell in it. That's including us. We are his. He put us here on this earth to prosper, to be ambassadors, and to do amazing things. But he's the one that gives us the gifts. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadow. So I'm going to give you an example. You have a gift, and you are wrapping it up for Christmas, and you're sending it to someone that is in need. It's got some very important things, and you go down to the shipping station, the post office or wherever, and you say, here's this gift, you wrap it up, here's the postage, you put it there, and you send it out, and you expect the person that you gave it to get it and open it up, but instead the delivery boy accepts the package and then decides to open it up himself. And when you find this out, you're like, what are you doing? And he's like, I just thought you gave it to me, so it's mine. You see, we're God's delivery boys and girls, I should say. But if we open it up and we just say, this is mine, instead of delivering it to the right person, God's house, people in need, do y'all know what I'm saying? He'll start sending gifts your way. You will blow you out of your mind. He'll start giving you promotions. He will start bringing the right people in your life. Not again, if it's a selfish motive, oh, I'm going to plant some seeds so that I can reap a harvest. Hallelujah. And it's all about that. No, it's got to have the heart position of I'm giving, whether I get anything back or not, I'm giving as unto the Lord. And God says, that's my girl, that's my guy. I'm going to just flow money, blessing, favor. Here, let's give them some talents. Let's let them be blessed because they will bless others. God will only give to you what he knows he can move through you. I have to just tell a quick story. I know I'm telling a lot of stories. Are y'all still good with me? For those of you that have to leave, y'all go. I know we're going a little bit, but I'm closing down. It's all good. Y'all know that my husband's mom passed away in July. One of the hardest things that we've walked through, grief. If you've lost somebody, you know the grief is, it was really hard. Did some triggering of my own father's death, so I was double grieving, you know what I'm saying? Then we have our little toddler who didn't understand and is going through tantrums, and so it was really hard. She passed away. We were gonna take 3 days and go to California just to sit on the beach to decompress and just be with Jesus before we go through all the funeral stuff, you know? And when I am stressed, or I'm feeling sad or whatever, I go shopping. I know, could need some deliverance in that area, people. But what I do go, I go thrifting. I go thrifting, and I love to go thrifting. In fact, this is one of my thrifts. I think it's pretty cool, yeah. I go thrifting, and so I was at one of the thrift shops. There was a Goodwill close to my house, and I'm just in there because I just walk. My creative mind just goes. And I go to the front, and I'm checking out, and the manager, and she always says hi to me, and she's a Native American, beautiful lady, and she's like, you know, people don't know, and I was just like, ugh, heavy. And she's like, oh, as she's checking me out, how was your weekend? And I was like, I had to make a choice. Do I tell her or do I just go, oh, great, like all of us do? And I said, actually, it was pretty rough. I said, my mother-in-law just passed away. She stops. She says, oh, my goodness, I am so sorry. And I said, yeah. She began to check out just with that face like this. And she goes, I am so sorry. And she says, how does your husband feel? And I said, well, he's pretty sad. Actually, she passed away the day before his birthday. I said, today is his birthday. And she was like, oh, my goodness. She's sitting there just doing this. And then she just stops. And she goes, you know, my mom, actually my grandma who raised me, she passed away on my birthday 4 years ago. And she goes, ever since that day, I don't celebrate my birthday. And I said, why? And she said, it's too painful. And I went into, you know, kind of ministry mode at that moment and said, ah, come, you know, your grandma would want you to celebrate and blah, blah, blah. So we kind of talked this and that, finished, left, got home, went to sleep, woke up the next morning, and who was on my heart? That girl from Goodwill. Her name was Vanessa. And I get up and it was so strong. I'm grieving. I have a right to be sad. I have a right to have the perspective inside because I'm hurting. I have the right to spend lots of money. I'm kidding, Pastor Dave. But I had a right because of how I felt. But the Holy Spirit changed my perspective, and I began to think about Vanessa, and I went to Pastor Dave. I said, Pastor Dave, I call him Pastor Dave at home. Pastor Dave, I said, I am supposed to do something for this girl named Vanessa. I know what I'm supposed to do. He goes, what? I said, I'm supposed to give her $100. He goes, okay. Now, I'm preaching to the choir when I say that. He gives cars away. He just gave his car away to one of our city pastors who didn't have a car that had air or even worked. That's my husband. I had a little more maybe selfishness inside. And the Holy Spirit said, Vanessa. So here we are grieving. It's time for us. us to go to LA. We're going to sit on the beach because we need comfort. And we need the beach and we need all this stuff. But I said, we can't leave town until we go see Vanessa. So I go and I go to the Goodwill and I was so excited. I wrote a card and I said, you don't know me, but God knows you. And every time I come in here, you smile and he sees that. And what he just wants you to know, he wants you to celebrate your birthday. Here's $100 for whatever you want. I was so excited to get to Goodwill. I get there, and she wasn't there. It was a different manager. I said, where is Vanessa? And they go, oh, she comes in at 1:30. Okay, we delayed our trip till 1:30. We drive up. Y'all, it was so God. We drive up in front of that store, and she had was just walking into work. So I jump out of the car, and I said, Vanessa! She didn't know I knew her name. She looks at me. She was all protective. You know what I'm saying? I said, Vanessa. She goes, yeah. And she's kind of walking like this. And I said, you remember me? Remember me? We talked. My mother-in-law passed away. And she's like, yeah. And kind of backing up. And I gave her this. I said, you've been on my heart. God wants you to have this. And then I just gave her a hug. And I said, bye. And I jumped back in the car. And we took off to California. Do you know that my grief lifted? I was full of joy. I was full of peace. I was doing eternal heavenly things. And then the joy of the Lord came upon even Pastor Dave. When I got the text 3 hours later that said, I don't even, because I put my phone number, no strings attached. I didn't even say, I'm a pastor of a church. You need to come to our services. They start at 9:30. I didn't even put an invite card in there. It had nothing to do with, I want her to come to church. It was pure this. And I said, if you need anything, don't ever hesitate to call. No strings attached. So she texted me and she said, I don't even know what to say. I have had such a struggle. I didn't know there were still good people in this world. The girl, she looked rough. She's been through it. And now we're Facebook buddies, and I go in, I go, Vanessa. She's like, girl, the sticker today is yellow. She's amazing. When your perspective on being generous is here, I'm here to manage it, then living a life of generosity is nothing but good for you. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. The world of the generous, let me just say this and we're closing down, I promise. The world of the generous is happy. Write that down. When you know God, he's the giver of all, you want to give, even to the little kids at the lemonade stand. You know they put their fingers all in that, and you're not going to drink it, but you give them the dollar anyway, and you drive off, and you're like, I'm a good person. Come on. You know it. It's compassionate. You care about injustice. You care about those people in need. You care about foster children, and not just the foster kids, the parents that had to give their kids up. You don't judge them. You care about them. Come on. You walk in blessing because God blesses you. You seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. All the things you need, added and more. And then the last thing is you're rewarded because your life on earth will be rich in many ways, but your eternal life in heaven, woo! People be clapping when you walk in those gates. It's like, there she is, there he is, the one who gave their life away. That's why I'm here, and the heavens will rejoice. Man, when we live with the legacy in mind, time, talent, treasure, that touch, that encouraging word, that note, that I'm gonna take you to lunch. Let me buy your coffee. Let me serve today. Oh, foster family, let me do some respite care for you. Ooh, come on. Let me take that little one off your hands for a minute. The value of life isn't determined how much I achieve or accumulate. Here it is, folks. But how much of my life I give away. Living a life of generosity and changing your perspective is all what God wants us to do. Would you bow your heads today? Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that you moved, Lord, not just in the word, but in the whole service. The worship, preparing our hearts, healing people. You are a God of generosity, and we worship you today. We thank you, God, that you are not just a God that judges us or condemns us, but you love us so much that you bring us hope. You bring us freedom. God, we just say thank you. We want to be like you. And help us, Lord, this week and as we go into the holidays, that we be people that seek you first like never before. God, we will give you glory and praise, and let us not have calloused hearts. Forgive us, but let us be people that live the life of generosity and give our life away. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here you go, Pastor Sri, a little gratitude for that. Thank you, honey. One of the things that we always do is give people a chance to say yes to Jesus at the end of every worship encounter. And there may be some people in here today that said, I would love to be able to do that, I just don't know how. And I submit to you that the best way to say that is you just don't know who. If you knew him like he wants to know you, it would change everything about your journey. Your life is probably one choice away from being radically changed. And that choice is giving the lordship or the directorship of your life, the steering wheel of your life, to Jesus out of your own hands. Biblically, that's the posture of repentance, where we say, God, I'm sorry for sinning against you. I'm yielding my life to you and trusting that you'll lead me through the rest of my life and into eternity, providing every step that I need. If that's you today, I'm just going to ask in just a moment, you'd be willing to say what we call a life change prayer with everyone else. It starts by just making a decision and identifying and admitting to yourself, that's me. So would you just bow your heads and close your eyes and just come to that decision. If that's you, then just say, that's me. And then I'm going to ask if you will to join me and everyone else in this room as we pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, come on, everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to wash me, cleanse me, and forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Fill me with strength to live for Jesus the rest of my life, because I've decided to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, you guys. Let's celebrate together this morning. God is so good.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.